Tape from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull, how are you? We did it! It's done! It's over! Yep. Season 51, all wrapped up in a bow. Wowzers, what a journey.
We made it to the end of another season. Every season, I'm just like, is this the last year we're doing this podcast? I don't know. Do I have another year in me? I don't know.
Can I carry on? Can I go on? Do I really want to? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're like a beleaguered detectives. We're getting too old for this shit.
We're like the burned out detectives. We have high Danny Glover energy at this point. We are getting too advanced in years for this excrement.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I see what you did there. That's very clever.
Yeah.
Okay. Keeping it classy, keeping it clean. I respect that.
I think we are still labeled as a clean podcast, even though we do swear on occasion. So I don't know how that works. I don't know if we're violating some rule without meaning to. I don't know how anything works.
Are the podcast police going to come after us?
I don't know. Is this broadcasting to anyone? I don't even really know that.
Are we speaking into the ether? Is anyone listening? Are you out there?
I feel like sometimes we are shouting into bottles and just tossing them out to the sea. And yeah. So
is there anybody in there?
I don't know. Can you tell we're at the end of the season?
Yeah, we get that. But we have listeners. We get blue sky messages and the like. And so we know you're listening out there, guys.
Yeah, not today, but most days.
Yeah, most days, not today.
But
today we're talking about the season 51 finale. Will Ferrell and James Paul McCartney.
Yes, this is season 51, episode 20. Air date May 16th, 2026. So yeah, I mean, bringing out the big guns for the season finale. So
pew, pew.
Beloved former cast member Beatle.
Yes.
I'm not even going to call him an ex-Beatle. He's still a Beatle. It's a lifetime appointment.
Exactly. It's like a Supreme Court judge. Like once you're a Jet all the way.
Right. Right. So absolutely. Yeah, you get into knife fights with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So you think it would be Keith you'd have to watch out for. Not so. Wrong.
No, it's the quiet ones. Beware the cute ones.
That's right.
Yeah. Paul will fucking cut you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Paul and Davy Jones from the Monkees. Forget about it. Bloodbath.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. They both got something to prove.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. Davy in particular, because he's got the short thing, too.
That's so right.
It's a whole thing.
So I'll cut you, bloke. That's
again, flawless English accent.
Right? I mean, thank you.
Just
thank you.
Applause and the award, from our UK listeners.
And the award goes to, oh my God, Darren Patterson.
How have they not put a hit out on you yet?
I don't know. I really think at someday, like, you know, a bunch of just, you know, British toughs, some soccer hooligans are just one day just going to roll up on me and sock me in the mouth. And I'll be like, yeah, I had it coming.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be like, yeah, that tracks.
Yep, I saw that. It's my big mouth got in the way.
Understood.
Yeah, understood.
Respect. Oh,
yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. Just some like Vinnie Jones looking motherfucker. I was like, oh, you're having a laugh there, mate. Going on that podcast, talking all British and whatnot. Oi. And they just head.
I like how doing the bad British accent while you're talking about how you're going to get your ass kicked for your bad British accent.
I go down swinging, John.
It's very circular.
That's right.
It's a weird cyclical thing. But anyway, okay. Will Ferrell, Paul McCartney. Should we dive into this? Should we get into this?
We're doing this. Let's do it. Let's hold my hand and walk to Never Neverland.
We're gonna jump over the cliff like Butch and Sundance. You know, we're gonna dive into the water. One of us will confess that we can't swim.
Right.
But we're gonna make that leap of faith anyway.
We're gonna hold hands, drive off that cliff in a car.
Now we're doing Thelma and Louise. Okay. All right.
Thelma and Louise. That's right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Cold open. Bam.
Cold open. Jeffrey Epstein ghost cold open. So Woo! We got Trump and J.D. Vance, James Austin Johnson, Jeremy Culhane. Trump's taking a nap.
Yeah, he's back from his trip from China, you know, back from China, bore his leg swollen. He rests his head on a gold bar that he got from Switzerland at a straight-up bribe. And he's visited by the ghost of Jeffrey Epstein, played by our host, Will Ferrell.
Host, former cast member Will Ferrell. Trump talks about how his approval ratings are in the 30s. And Epstein has a nice line. He says, "Call me when it hits 17.
Oh, we get dark, baby.
Because he likes the underage.
Yeah. And then at one point, Trump goes to give him a high five. And Epstein's like, "Hey, this time I'm going to leave you hanging."
Oh, yeah. That's very dark joke.
Yikes.
And he's got like chains around him. It's very Marley's Ghost sort of thing.
Right.
He says, like, "Hey, you know, we should have taken more pictures together." And Trump's like, "No, we took enough. We took probably too many." And we do. And I guess because it's the end of the season and they don't know what the heck's going to happen with the Trump administration over the next 3 months. So this is, again, another sort of goodbye sketch to all the wacky characters they parodied over the last year. So we look into where Chrissy Noem's going to be in 6 months, and she's doing an infomercial.
Yeah, selling vacuum cleaners on QVC. Best way to clean up the mess your dog made besides a gun. Because she shot a dog, you see.
She did. Yeah, she did. That sounds like it's an exaggeration or satire. No, she straight up killed a dog.
We live in parody, everybody.
Yep. Parody. Yep. And we got Pete Hegseth, and once again, returning for, I think, the third week running, Aziz Ansari as Kash Patel.
Yes, this is the third time he's doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, anytime we do stunt casting, it's worth doing.
Yeah.
Like, nearly a month.
Yeah.
And I like Aziz Ansari. But
yeah, but, like, three times in a row. Yes, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So we see Hegseth and Cash are doing beer bongs and have a podcast now.
Because they're both drinkers.
They're alcoholics. Unrepentant alcoholics. Cash has a line of cologne, incompetence for men, bottles of his forehead sweat. They do another joke about his big bulgy eyes, which kind of go to that well quite a bit.
I mean, it's the most obvious thing about the dude. So, yeah. I get it. And we have Epstein and Trump singing "Just the Two of Us."
Because people always associate Trump with Epstein. So we get a little Bill Withers.
I'm of two minds about this cold. I wasn't nuts about it overall, but at least it wasn't another press conference, I guess.
Yeah. So. I didn't hate it. Like, I mean, the fact the Jeffrey Epstein thing was a nice dark way to take it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it gets the host in the show early on. I don't hate it, but I don't love it. So I'm very so-so on this.
I thought it was okay. Some great dark jokes that made me go like, "Oh shit, wow." But I think also the fact that we've seen Pete Hegseth so many times and Cash so many times, and while we haven't seen Trump, you know, in a few weeks, which is good. So
they had the sense to put Trump on the back burner for a while.
And yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I'm grateful for that. But, you know, they still, the cold open is one of the weaker parts of the show now, I would say.
It still hasn't gotten stronger. Like, I mean, I'm sure I've said this before. I'll probably say it on our wrap up. But, yeah, the SNL UK is doing the cold opens better. They just are. I don't know why. We got to take a page out of those Limey's books, folks.
Okay. Well, that's very respectfully said.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the world is just sad, but that what I said was respectfully sad.
Again, that is Darren Patterson, our friends in the UK. Darren Patterson.
Friend of the Brits.
Friend of the Brits. Okay, so...
monologue.
Yeah, so, you know, then the show opens up, and I'm like, hopefully this is the last time I'll see Cam Patterson and Jane Wickline in the opening credits. Fingers crossed!
And our monologue, written by Dan Bola, Martin Herlihy, and Jake Nordwind. Will Ferrell comes out all dressed to the nines, but hold on, wait a minute. That's not Will Ferrell who's out on stage. Wah-wah-wah-wah?
Yeah, it's Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, you guys did this bit 11 years ago on the Late Show, on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. You would be correct. Yes, they are repeating a bit from the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon from literally 11 years ago. I looked it up.
It was a while ago. Yeah. So, and like, you know, he comes out saying, hey, it's great to be back here. It's my sixth time hosting. And then the real Will comes out. It's like, whoa, you're not me. You're Chad Smith. And tells the audience to shut up. They're applauding too loudly. Will said, oh, he pushed me down backstage and I fell hard. Lauren had to give me mouth to mouth. And then he just tells him to get off stage, and then Chad leaves.
Yeah. So I went back and I couldn't remember which talk show it was. And, you know, it being me not remembering it, that should have been the cue that it was from a Jimmy Fallon show.
They did like a drum off and they were dressed the same.
Yeah. And I went back and I looked at that, and that was much, much funnier than this monologue. For starters, it was Will Ferrell dressed like Chad Smith, not Chad Smith dressed like Will Ferrell. Also, 11 years ago, the two of them looked way more alike than they do now.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Like, Chad, I don't know what happened to Chad. He doesn't look as much as like Will Smith anymore as he used to. So, like, his face got a little puffier.
Did you say Will Smith?
Well, damn it. Because it's Chad Smith and Will Ferrell.
Right.
Will Smith.
Right.
So you're
doing my Eddie Murphy.
I am.
Bill Murray mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sundowning.
Yeah. We like reversing races when we mix up names for some reason. So, you know, let's figure that out, somebody.
So Chad Farrell, he's on stage.
But and Chad Smith looks a little more like John McEnroe now than he does Will Ferrell.
I think. What happened to Chad's face? How did it change like that? I don't
know. Well, I mean, he is a rock star, so maybe he's doing rock star things. I don't know.
Cocaine.
I'm not gonna be like, what happened to his face?
Was that wrong for me to say? Was that rude?
Well, we could have phrased it a little more diplomatically.
I'm sorry. Apologies to Chad. Wow, I got the Brits after me, Chad Smith.
I know, you're pissing off people left and right, man.
Yeah, I'm the bad boy of this podcast. I'm like Howard Stern here.
But I mean, yeah, so I was watching this and I was like, this should be funnier, but I just couldn't help but keep thinking it's a variation of a thing I saw a long time ago. So
yeah, I mean, I did think it was kind of cool that like somebody else came out on stage before the host. I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
I guess that's new. So yeah,
but yeah, then they feel like they didn't have anywhere to take it because after Chad leaves, that's when Will's like, oh yeah, it feels weird, right? The energy is off. Well, let's just do what the hosts do when they don't have any ideas. Let's just take questions from the audience.
Yeah.
And which is a funny line. And then of course he takes a question from somebody in the audience. Who should it be? It's Paul McCartney.
He says, oh, the cute one. And then
Cut to Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney thinks he's Chad. Says, oh, what are you doing on stage, Chad? You should be behind the drums. And
again, then flawless McCartney
impression. Paul McCartney, I think I can take. If he comes after me, I think I could take him.
Well, the mansion is 80, so yeah, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Yes.
Wouldn't feel good about you for beating up a Beatle, but...
I mean, I'm saying if he rushes me and comes at me like he wants like he wants a piece of this, then I'll have to break him off a piece of this, respectfully, because he's a knight.
Because as we established earlier, like he and David Jones were the most volatile members of their rock groups.
So. Exactly. So, you know, if he's trying to step up because he wants some beef, he wants a smoke, then son, you can get it. Nah, I mean, word up. no diggity.
Right. Yes. Right.
So then Will Smith, he pulled up Paul on stage. That time that was on purpose.
Yeah, no, I got it.
He pulls Paul up on stage, and then they just end up like listing off Paul McCartney songs for like.
Yeah, he's like, you've written a lot of good songs, you know, like Let It Be, Hey Jude, da 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 da. He's like, but there are some great songs you didn't write, like this song from Pitbull. all the Smash Mouth songs.
The alphabet song. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it kind of peters out. I don't know.
Yeah,
there's some good ideas.
I mean, I like that they gave Paul McCartney the line, "Get back behind the drums where you belong." That was clever. That was cute.
Get back where you belong, Chad.
And Paul's game. So
Paul is game, as we will see later on in the night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, monologue. Okay. Like I had some interesting ideas, but like I feel like they didn't know how to execute them.
Yep. You know, that's sort of, show doesn't go on because it's ready. Show goes on because it's 11:30 in action right here.
Confidence for the show is at an all-time high, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right, baby. So, let's barrel forward into the first sketch. Post-op. That's not me making a critique. That's the name of the sketch. It was post-op. So,
right.
We got Mikey Day waking up after surgery. Ashley Padilla is his wife. Will Ferrell's a doctor. And,
The man was supposed to have gallbladder surgery. And the doctor says, hey, I looked at the charts, you know, just to let you know, everything went successfully, but unfortunately some wires got crossed and I accidentally removed your penis.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, what? How did this happen? And then, you know, we find out he dropped it into a bio-waste chute and then it went into a blast furnace. So his penis can't even be reattached.
Right. Because the nurse said, hey, don't forget to remove and clean this. I heard, don't forget to remove his penis.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things, man.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we kind of go into further the consequences. And it's like, oh, he hasn't spoken to a urologist yet. I liked at one point Will Ferrell just turns to Ashley Padilla and is like, don't be a bitch.
Yeah. It's just a wacky situation. Hey, we could Monday morning football quarterback this thing all day. But, you know, it is what it is. Scores aren't going to change.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, you still have your testicle, singular.
Yeah.
My main thought after watching this is Will Ferrell really likes doing sketches with the word penis in them.
Who doesn't? It's a fun word to say.
You remember when he was a fighter pilot? I believe it was the last time he hosted it. He was like, and his call sign was clown penis. I was like,
okay, oh, right.
This is Will Ferrell's thing, I guess.
That's his wheelhouse, the penis. That's the paintbrush he uses to create his art, the penis brush.
Yeah, he just likes using the word penis in his comedy sketches, I think. So that was my main thought.
That's a pretty great thought.
I'm quite proud of it.
Cheers for you. Yeah, this felt like a sketch you would just see like in a regular improv show. It had very strong kind of Groundlings energy, which makes sense because I believe all three of them were in the Groundlings.
That makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's mostly Will making this whole thing go. Ashley and Mikey are pretty much playing it straight, I'd say.
I probably would have put this more towards the middle of the show. I don't know if it's the strongest possible opening sketch, but well, actually, maybe out of this bunch, maybe it was.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, and at the end, Will Ferrell wishes Mikey a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that was even scripted. I think that was just Will Ferrell wishing Mikey Day a happy birthday.
Was it Mikey's birthday? That'd be wild if it was.
It would be wild, especially considering I just totally made that up. So.
Oh, I see. If you guessed Mikey's birthday was that day, you
I would have like a 1 in 365 chance of getting it right.
I like those odds.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we got a pre-tape.
Midnight Matinee, Bobbin's Sacrifice. So we're going very Lord of the Rings here.
Yes, this one's written by Maxwell Gay, Tucker Floodman, Dan Bulla, and Jake Nordwind.
Mm-hmm.
So we see it's very Lord of the Rings. We see the Horde army at the castle doors. Mm-hmm. And we see
the attacked by orcs.
Orcs, yes. Mm-hmm. We see king and dwarves and the elves and the wizard look down. Appears all is lost. Their only hope is to blow up the castle bridge. The only way they could do that is to light the dome powder from the middle of the bridge.
So like, you know, Will Ferrell, he's like the Hobbit. He goes on this suicide mission. He says, I'll go blow up the bridge. And he's like singing a song And then as he's singing the song, he reveals he's switching sides and he waves white flag of surrender. And so he's going to side with the bad guys to spare his own life.
Yes, he shows the enemy a blueprint of the castle, points out the weakest spots, helps them poison the water supply, burn all the local crops, shows the orcs his penis for some reason. And
again, you know, we got
penis. You're right.
It's a very penis heavy episode.
Penis heavy. That's what she
I mean said. Even during update there was a dick joke during update.
What? Well, I don't know if I remember. We'll get the
average length of the erect penis.
Oh, right. Yes.
3.4 inches. Yeah.
Yeah. Penis heavy. Wow.
This is. I didn't really make that connection, but yeah, we got dicks on the brain now.
Oh, and the next sketch too. There's like dick stuff. Whoa.
Really?
Holy
crap! Well, should we be keeping a tally? What the hell, man?
Maybe we should.
Why is there so much penis stuff in this episode? There's a beetle here.
Yeah, keep it classy,
man.
We have Sir James Paul McCartney in the building.
That's right.
Talk about dicks. Talk about dicks.
So anyway, like a dwarf gets killed by Will Ferrell to prove his loyalty. Will Ferrell gets his head cut off, and the sketch is way too long. But anyway, back to the penises.
Always back.
Yeah, I didn't think much of this. I just, after the turn, it was very predictable.
I don't know. Like when these Dan Bulla shorts started happening, they seemed to have it got off to a good start. That's because
they seemed fresh, and now I'm just tired of them. Yeah,
yeah, they seem to be like because like the first one was my best friend's house one, the Ariana Grande, which was a great one.
Yeah, but then, I mean, before that, he'd done like Tiny Horse and all that, and I think that's why he got a regular or semi-regular thing. So
yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it just seems like the quality of these are. They've been taking a dip.
Yeah. I mean, it does that thing. A lot of them do that thing where it's like we're going more towards weird than funny. And I feel like funny should always be the most predominant part of it because it is.
It should be.
Yeah.
It should be. But I guess it's easier to be weird than to make a actual good joke.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a big fan of like random without funny. So.
Yeah. Random without funny is just weird and random.
And speaking of random, our next sketch, Castless 2. Now, this is a sequel to a sketch that I think was cut for time the first time.
It was. So the first time this came out was November 2019 when Will Ferrell hosted. And this sketch was cut for time, but it did so well on YouTube. It kind of went viral a little bit. And, like, people were, like, sharing it and really loving it. I guess the show was like, oh, we should do a version of that, another version of that, and make sure it gets on the show. So we got Castless 2 written by Mikey and Streeter.
Okay. Yeah, I'm usually a big fan of Mikey and Streeter. I like their stuff, but I just, yeah, this one didn't do much of anything for me. And I don't remember the first one doing much for me either. I didn't go back and listen to our episode on the last one, but I would bet money I wasn't too nuts about it the first time.
I kind of liked the first time did it, but I will admit the energy on this one was a little off. It wasn't quite there. So basically, if you're a theater kid, you'll resonate with this sketch. It's like a bunch of students waiting outside their drama teacher's office for the waiting to see who got in the spring musical because they're doing Grease. Drama teacher comes out, all the students are just paying him compliments, and I don't know, like the main thing about this thing is like sucking up, and like the drama teacher is he says some wildly inappropriate things to his students.
He talks about how he did The Color Purple with an all-white cast, which the really perverse part of me wants to see. Well, I've never seen The Color Purple at all, so
okay.
I'm curious, and I feel like having an all-white cast would be a good way for me to just ease into it,
It's like dipping your toe in that pool.
I don't want to go like full Oprah on The Color Purple right off the bat,
Yeah, it's like listening to the Beastie Boys to get you into hip-hop.
Exactly. Okay. I'm a white person. I need a gateway.
I like this rock and roll, but let me start listening to Elvis Presley before I...
Exactly. I need a gyrating white boy from the South to get me into the devil's music.
Oh, who doesn't?
So I felt like there was some confusion early on, because I felt like, okay, well, is this about the wacky teacher? Is this about Sarah's character in a wheelchair and the school board wanting her to be cast and the teacher not? Or is it just everybody's playing a wacky theater type? And I guess it was that.
Yeah, everybody's kind of playing a wacky theater type. We have Jeremy as this kid who got a part in a Honey Nuts Cheerio commercial, so the teacher's kind of mad at him and a little jealous. Yeah. And he likes to see the students flame out through his Wicked poster behind his on his door.
I think the thing that amused me the most was at one, Will Ferrell is spying through the Wicked poster, like he's removing the faces and spying. And at one point, we see a close-up of Will Ferrell, and we see a stagehand putting the face, the witch's face, back in the center, and that cracked me up.
Nice. Yeah, see?
But I enjoyed that because it wasn't supposed to be seen on camera, so.
Okay, all right. Mikey Day is in it. He's the teacher's TA, which is, he's also a carryover from the first time they did it, because in the first time they did it, he was a student at the school. So, like, now he's graduated and he's the TA. Get it? The thread.
He's graduated in the 7 years since.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yes. Is Lorne Michaels on with us right now? Wow.
This is the sort of thing that, It drives me nuts about SNL these days, where it's like they feel this weird impulse to give everyone in the sketch a backstory and a wacky character. And I just don't feel like that 3-4 minute comedy sketches can support that. And that's why, like, so many of these sketches get bloated to 5 minutes or more, because everybody has to have a thing.
Yeah, because this sketch was the longest sketch of the night. It was like 7 minutes and change.
It was 10 second shy of 8 minutes, which is just way too long. That's ridiculously long. That's like twice the length of an SNL sketch.
Yeah, I think because of this sketch, it kind of, I mean, we'll get to it, but there end up being a lot of Cut for Time sketches, because I feel like this sketch is the culprit of that.
Well, also because we got freaking Paul McCartney on the show, so of course you're going to let him play as much as he wants. So
that too.
Yeah, there's going to be less time for the sketches because you got a Beatle in the house. So
in this sketch, it's just basically the teacher berating all the students. Like, he wants Ben to be Danny Zuko, but he doesn't think, you know, audiences will accept a ginger as a lead. So can he?
That's a funny line. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You could build a sketch around that. But, like, build it around him rejecting Sarah, or build it around him rejecting Ben, not him rejecting everybody, because it just dilutes the whole thing, in my opinion.
Okay.
That's how I feel.
Okay. I can dig it. So then he puts up the set list, which needs to be signed off by the choreographer. Mm-hmm. So Keenan comes out as a choreographer. He signs off on it. And then he just slowly walks over to Sarah, who's in a wheelchair, and just says, "Let's get you home, honey." And then we see him wheel Sarah away as she cries. And Will Ferrell kicks her wheelchair as she leaves, which is mean, but a little funny.
And then I liked isolated little bits, but as a whole, just weird meandering sketch. Oh, and also we have a Molly Shannon cameo at the very end.
She's the music and choir director. She kind of brings in this different energy to the sketch. She kind of plays it kind of big. It's like, "Listen, boys, I'm the music teacher, and I get results. People say I'm handsy with the boys, but I get results." And then she pulls out Tommy
gets
Brennan,
a little handsy with him.
He teaches them how to sing high notes, and she ends up getting him to sing high notes by, like, grabbing his underwear and just, like, hiking it all the way up. And at one point, she literally just grabs his dick, handful of Tommy.
Another dick. We need a dick reference.
Another dick bites the dust. And another dick down, and another dick down.
Yeah, just weird meandering sketch. I was like John Mulaney talking to Mick Jagger at the end of this. I was like, "Not funny!"
Woo! Wowee. There were parts in this I liked. I feel like they did it better the first time. The energy on this one, the energy was a little off, I feel like, at a few places. It did make me chuckle, yeah, but not as good as the first time.
I mean, it's nearly 8 minutes. I mean, it'd be weird if the energy didn't dip at some point. And yeah, I feel like it went up and down throughout the sketch. So
yeah,
it just was very unfocused.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, I'd agree with that. Right. And then next up, we have our musical guest, Sir Paul McCartney. He did not one, not two, but three songs. First one was Days We Left Behind off of his upcoming new album, The Boys of Dungeon Lane, which comes out at the end of this month. Then he pulled out dusted off a classic, Band on the Run, from 1973. And during the credits, we got a deep cut. Did the song Coming Up off of his second solo album, McCartney 2, from 1980.
Well, that wasn't his second solo album. That was...
Was it not?
No, McCartney... Well, he did McCartney, like, after he left the Beatles, and then he did some other albums, and then after Wings broke up, he did McCartney 2, as sort of like, this is the start of my next era.
So, okay, but the Wings...
You need to watch the Paul McCartney documentary. I think it was Netflix. I think it was called Band on the Run.
And okay, all right, but I mean,
it's excellent doc, but yeah.
All right, but I mean, with the Wings stuff, that's the band Wings. McCartney is just McCartney, right?
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't count
that, right? Yes.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't count the Wings stuff as his solo work.
Oh, no, I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're saying it was his second ever solo album, not... I thought you were saying it was McCartney, and then McCartney 2 came out right after that. And
oh, no.
Okay.
No, it was the second...
All right, we're on the same page now.
All right.
Okay,
Okay. All right, no worries. So Paul McCartney, what do we think?
Enjoyed the new song, kind of ballady. We got like photos of Paul through the years on the walls behind him. He also has a song that's like a duet with Ringo on the new album, which I thought maybe we were going to get Ringo come on, and then we could do a callback to the famous Beatles reunite for $3,000 thing. I thought that would have been fun.
That would have been the way to go. I'm not quite sure why they didn't do that. Maybe Ringo couldn't do it, but I don't know.
It was a scheduling thing. I don't know. I'm not even going to go so far to say they should have done that, my idea instead, but I'm just saying I think that would have been fun. But
yeah, it would have been a hoot. I mean, maybe they thought about it, but I don't know. For whatever reason, they couldn't make it happen. And
yeah.
But, you know, either way, we got a Beatle. We got a living Beatle legend.
And we have Chad Smith playing drums on Band on the Run.
Yeah.
Which is one of the great Paul McCartney songs, honestly.
It's pretty fantastic. I do. Like, I remember the first time I heard it, and I was like, yeah, I thought it was so weird how, like, the beat changes, like, three times. Like, it starts off kind of slow, then it goes into some other beat, and then it goes into the main beat.
Yeah. So that's excellent. It's one of those things where it seems kind of Beatle-y because it's like it's like three different songs sort of jammed together.
Which yeah. I think is
very
the end of
cool.
Abbey Road.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's Paul McCartney. You know what you're getting into. The new song is nice. I mean, you know, his singing
voice. Amazing. The man is in his 80s and he is still this good. I mean, I wouldn't say it's as great as he was at his peak, but he's still freaking Paul McCartney. He's still giving it his all, man.
He's in his... It would be weird if he did sound like he did like 50 years ago.
That would be kind of creepy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'd be like, whoa, Paul, why has your voice not changed? What deal with the devil have you made?
Yeah.
And
then he does Coming Up at the end. You think Coming Up is a deep cut? Because I consider that like... I mean, it was a single, so I don't consider it that deep of a cut.
Maybe it's not that deep. I don't know. Maybe
I have a distorted view. So
maybe I don't. I think I read online somewhere with a deep cut, and I was like, oh, I guess it's a deep cut, and I should have.
Yeah.
I shouldn't get my info off of
him. I mean, I kind of wish he'd brought his entire band of Paul McCartneys with him.
Ooh.
Because I think that's fun. I like that he just had a whole band of McCartneys on his back pocket.
A whole band of McCartneys in his back pocket?
I think that's why he called those albums McCartney. I think because he played all the instruments or most of the instruments himself
on
his solo albums. I think that was it. I think I'm remembering that right.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying you wish Paul would have cloned himself in some way and had all McCartney playing right. as his backup band.
I mean, don't you?
I mean, I don't hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate a little the idea. More Paul McCartney in the world. That's not a bad thing, I think.
No, yeah. The world needs more McCartney now more than ever.
Exactly. We don't. Yeah, I'm not ready to let Paul go.
What the world needs now. Is Paul?
Sweet Paul. And, you know, the other nice thing about Paul McCartney, Lorne Michaels, I am positive, knows who he is.
He's gotta.
He's hung out with him. He's had dinner with him. They've probably, you know, done shit at Martha's Vineyard together.
Yeah. Got wild and wacky in, like, Laurel Canyon back in the 70s.
They've had wacky misadventures together.
Hijinks, time traveling, like we talked about last week.
There was whole weekend at Bernie's situation at one point, I bet.
Yeah. They had to puppet around a dead body. They did have to do that. Yeah.
Right.
You know, they don't like to talk about it. It's still fresh.
They don't
in
like
minds.
To talk about it. The statute of limitations has not expired yet. I mean, they get into a lot of trouble. But
yeah. Actually, I don't even know if we should be talking about it. Ooh.
We probably shouldn't. No. I mean, the police are going to be knocking on our doors very, very shortly.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We could technically be accomplices after the fact.
Yeah. So donate to our Patreon for bail money and lawyer fees.
Right. Non-productive.com.
Yes, please. It's like we will need representation.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, we're going into the summer hiatus. There's no reason for them to not throw us in prison now.
That's right. I'm too pretty for jail, as you all know. So I can't I can't do another bit. I made too many enemies last time. In the joint.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you did a dime before, didn't you?
No doubt. I took an up north trip, son. Up into Who's Gow. I get all my jail lingo from Chicago, the musical.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. That's exactly what jail is like.
Yeah.
We had it coming.
Cicero.
Lipschitz. We're all just like snapping and doing dance numbers.
Yeah.
Well, it's now like, I just want to watch Chicago again. Damn it.
Oh my! I remember the first time I saw it. With the movie, I was like, "Oh, this is really good." Like, I really didn't expect it to be as like so cynical about the law and celebrity.
Yeah.
Like, you know, having some nice commentary and shit like that. It's like, oh, I should have seen this on Broadway.
I've never seen it on stage. I'd love to see the stage version. I don't think I've seen the stage version. If I did, yeah. Well, anyway, Chicago, good stuff. Check it out. John C. Reilly.
Absolutely.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, Renee Zellweger, Richard Gere.
I know.
Other people I'm forgetting.
I think Queen Latifah's in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was trying to remember if like Queen Latifah was in the movie or she did it on stage.
Yeah, yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah, go watch.
Kay Diggs.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he's like the narrator or the MC or something like that.
Tay Diggy?
Tay Diggs, yeah.
Okay, all right. My weekend is made.
All
speaking
right,
of weekend, right. Weekend update.
Weekend update, we're calling Just Michael
Che. Yeah, some pretty good jokes as always. Talking about how Kari Lake has been appointed to ambassador of Jamaica and will turn reggae into reg straight.
I like they were talking about Trump's trip to China, and the kids greeted him with, "It's the man from the hats we make."
There you go. Not too shabby.
And somebody wants to name an interstate the Trump Interstate because people associate Trump with traffic across state lines. Great line. Great. And then, you know, they put up a picture of Trump with Jeffrey Epstein. Because, they transported children across state lines.
And they're in positions of power. Yeah, the more you think about it, the more bummed out you get. But
yeah, I know.
not bad. Not a bad weekend update. Some good jokes here and there. But you know, we also got We also got some death segments. We got the return of Mr. On Blast. Right to free peace. Right to free speech. Headed in the wrong direction. Mr. On Blast isn't afraid to speak truth to power. AI, more like PU.
Boop. So he does, he does little dance moves and stuff. I wasn't too nuts about Mr. On Blast the first time around. This didn't really change my mind.
I still get some chuckles out of it. Like, I think, I know we've talked about, like, how, you know, when on SNL, when people do something where it's just, like, repetitious over and over again, it can get kind of tiring. But I think with Jeremy, he's kind of found new ways to kind of interject new life into this. Because, the whole joke is, like, you know, he says he's kind of lame On Blast thing, and he does a little dance with the synths in the background. But, like, they found new ways to kind of make it a little bit fresher. Like, the pitcher-in-pitcher thing they did where you're...
The pitcher-in-pitcher thing was cute. I think... I like Jeremy as a performer. I just think it's a very one-note character, so...
Yeah,
but... Yeah, a little repetitive for my taste.
Yeah, but I don't mind it. Like, I did like the whole devout thing where like, he mentioned something about, like, oh, you want to talk about the metaverse? Why don't you read a Bible verse? It's like, wait, are you a Christian? Devout. And then they ask, he says something about him being Jewish in his bar mitzvah. And then Colin's like, wait, you're Jewish? Devout.
Yeah.
I don't know why that made me.
I like that his religions were switching up. That was cute. That gave us a little variety, but. Yeah, still not my favorite Jeremy Culhane character, but, you know, what you gotta do? I can't love them all as much as Tucker Carlson.
No, that's his...
By which I mean the real-life Tucker Carlson, not his... ...character Tucker Carlson. What? Oh, did I go too far? Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the final episode of SNL Nerds.
That's right. I'm going masks off, man. Wow. I mean, Tucker Carlson has some great ideas. Oh, I can't even say that.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I thought, it's like, is Trumbull doing a heel turn right now? Mid-podcast?
8 years in, I'm like, all right, let's stop fucking around. Let me tell you what I really think.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's wow. That's 8 years in. You took the long con.
I waited through three presidential administrations, man.
Wow. You put in the work.
I did. I did that all to just lull you into a false sense of security.
Son of a bitch. I never saw it coming.
Do we have anything else to say about Mr. On Blast?
No, and then the On Blast dancers came out. That was cool. I didn't mind. I thought this was fun. I got a kick out of this more than you did. You
know, I see the appeal. I'm not going to begrudge anybody who's into it. It's just not too much for me. So,
What you going to do when they come for you? And next up, we got ourselves a joke swap. Good old fashioned joke swap, boys.
Joke swap. We got a joke about how the average length of an erect penis is 6.34 inches, and Che. In a joke written by Colin Joseph, they're like, yay, I'm only 6 inches below average. Yay.
Yay.
Usually, we had a joke about yay.
Oh, we did. Wow. I didn't even mean to do that.
Yeah, neither did I.
Jost makes a joke about, Michael B. Jordan winning Best Actor for Sinners, how black vampires are different than white vampires because the only thing they suck dry is the welfare state. Then Jost knows that's a bad joke, so he pledges to donate his salary to Dr. Umar Johnson, who I know for a fact a lot of people, white people, don't know who that is. So that one's for the brothers. Like Dr. Umar, he's like this kind of Hotep dude. I guess he's like a speaker professor who's very pro-black, anti-white. Like black men need to stay away from white women type shit. He's known. I don't know how many people
is he considered radical or
yes, I would say so.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but I don't know how many. I mean, black people know him, but like I don't know how many take him seriously. So like to have to have him mentioned in this that did feel like Che would definitely know who Dr. Umar Johnson is. So like,
he wrote the joke. So
yeah, no diggity.
and Colin immediately was like, our white audience is going to have no idea who they are. So
right.
I guess Colin's been hanging around Jay enough that he knows about Umar Johnson. He's down with the brothers. So.
Down with the brothers? Yeah. Oh, never change, Trumbull. Never change. Yeah, and then Che has a joke about how grape juice lessens your chance of erectile dysfunction, which explains why his boyfriend is always rock hard. Shows a picture of a boy drinking juice.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ.
Drinking grape juice. Yeah.
Mother of God.
Yeah. He also talks about the Michael movie, the Michael Jackson biopic. And he says, I'm just going to say it. Michael Jackson did nothing wrong. He was right to molest those kids.
Wow. I see. That's the thing with these jokes. They feel like they're more shocking than funny in this time around. Like,
well, that's kind of what the joke swap's been about. Yeah. Like how, well, yeah, it's just kind of become over the years. Like let's do the thing that will get the other guy into the most hot water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what's expected now. Yeah, for the last few years.
Yeah, I suppose so. And and then
it used to be about like, oh, we're doing jokes that we couldn't do before, but now it's just like, oh, let's make Colin look bad, let's make Michael Che look bad. So
yeah, yeah. And then it ends in an interesting way where Joe says he'll, you know, he feels bad about making these jokes, so he'll sacrifice, you know, the thing that means the most to him, which is his hair. So mm-hmm. then a barber comes out, puts a apron around his neck and gets ready to shave his head.
Yeah. And he says, Jerome, make me unpretty.
Yeah. Until Shay stops and is like, oh my God, were you really going to do it? So that felt real. Like the way he said it, like, that didn't feel planned at all. Like it did seem like Jost was gonna go ahead with the bit and have a man shave his head.
It felt like Jost was prepared to take that up to the line. I mean, I don't think I was ever really fearful that Jost's head was gonna get shaved.
It's
a season finale, so why the hell not? I mean, remember when Zach Galifianakis shaved his head into a Mr. T Mandika for the good nights, and he's like, so I guess we're not doing the Mr. T sketch.
See, that was ballsy. Like, I don't think Jost has the balls that Zach Galifianakis does. Like,
no, I don't think his testicles are quite the same size as Zach Galifianakis's.
Oh boy, yes.
Plural. Figuratively or literally.
Yeah. Oh wow.
I don't know why I'm speculating on his literal testicle size now, but all this dick talk has just put me in the mind of it. So
it's a dick heavy episode, guys.
It's a very dick heavy episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dick Ebersole.
Lots of dick. this is the most dick we've had since the Ebersole
years. Oh, hey-o. Oh boy.
So I don't know. I would have liked it. I feel like we could have taken that even further. I wish he turned on the razor and the razor was really loud. And we were getting like really, really close. I also liked that it was a black barber. that just seemed like a little extra twist of the knife, you know?
Yeah. Just like, come on now, bro. Come on now, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that's the weekend update. Not a bad weekend update, I'd say. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of par for the course. And I also did like something I didn't even notice until they pointed it out online. At the end of this episode, during the credits and the good nights, you could see Colin Jost is wearing like a bald cap.
Was he really? I totally missed that. That's funny.
He was, yeah. If you go back and look, he kind of He steps out wearing a bald cap. So it's like, oh, I see.
Don't get why they never post the good nights on the YouTube channel.
That's weird, right?
Paul McCartney does a third song during the good nights. So
yeah, because like they, I know that got cut off. I watched it live on Peacock, and they cut that off. And and then that's when I saw online that when he was singing the song Coming Up, Will Ferrell played a cowbell with him on stage while he was singing Coming Up, and that's something that they didn't show on Peacock. So I was like, well, what the what now?
I mean, sometimes they gotta cut it off. Because, you know, we're at like 101 or 103 or whenever the hell the show ends.
Ah.
Yeah, so
I don't want to hear that.
I know.
Ah, well, but overall, not a bad weekend update. I feel like, yeah, I think I see what you mean. Like for like a season finale, I felt like this should have been stronger, though.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Maybe we'll bounce back with our next sketch, mechanics.
Mechanics, or as they said in the intro, what it feels like talking to a mechanic, and it's just Will Ferrell as a mechanic using a lot of nonsense words.
Right. It's...
Yeah.
That's how it feels like talking to a mechanic. We have Mikey and Ashley as a couple again, and Will Ferrell's the mechanic, talking, you know, telling what's wrong with their car, or the straw box is shot. You know, asking me, how has your car been making weird noises when you drive? And she's like, Ashley says, oh, I don't know. I usually just listen to music. I don't hear anything. And he says, music? No, you should definitely not be doing that. And then we have Marcello as a mechanic come down. And guess what? He talks in an accent. And he talks some, he says some.
We shit on Marcello so much.
I know.
We're using an accent in sketches.
I feel bad now. Now I feel like a dick. I'm sorry,
Marcello. I do feel kind of bad, but on the other hand, he's sort of brought it on himself because that's like his main go-to, you know?
He talks in accents. I mean, all the, if he did a sketch in his, I'm sure he does sketches in his regular voice, but like he does the accent way more.
And yeah, he goes to that well a lot.
He goes to the wacky accent well a lot. And, you know, and he says some stuff in Spanish and with gibberish. Mm-hmm. And then I think at one point.
Pick a lane, Darren. Is it Spanish or is it gibberish?
Oh, he says some gibberish in Spanish. That's what I meant.
Okay. I'm just trying to, like, get you to settle on how racist you're being.
Oh, boy. Now I got the Spanish people after me.
That's right.
Making enemies of
that's British people. That's Spanish people.
And Paul McCartney.
Who else did you piss off this week?
Paul McCartney.
Okay, great.
I may not be able to leave my house.
Darren's going to have to go into hiding after this.
I may have to. I have to change my name.
Yep.
Burn off my fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But yeah.
Your teeth so you can't be identified by your dental records.
Exactly. Ooh, wow. Wow, I got to make some plans. I got to call the dentist. But yeah, I mean, I did like the part at one point where Will Ferrell says, because Mikey said, well, we just came in here for an oil change. Now you're telling us we need all this other stuff with our car. And then Will's like, oh, no, the oil's good. Your oil's fine. You keep the oil. You just rebuild everything around it.
Rebuild the entire car around it. And it was going to be like something like $41,000. And they're like, we're not sure we can pay that. Can we do an installment plan? And they bring out Paul McCartney as the chief mechanic, Nigel.
Right.
And they kind of wrote McCartney like it was going to be Dana Carvey guest starring as Paul McCartney.
Yeah, because like then that's when Paul says gibberish, but, you know, English gibberish. And he's like, oh,
you know, you got the flibbity flibbity do. This is just Dana Carvey's impression of Paul McCartney.
Yeah. He said, and, you know, the whole cart's knackered and the steering wheel's on the wrong bloody side.
Which got a
laugh, a big laugh.
Yeah, and you know, like, God bless Paul for being so game. So
yeah,
you know. How can you dislike Paul McCartney? Really,
you can't. I defy you to.
He's so cute and charming, even at 80 plus. So
yeah, so we have Mikey and Ashley saying, that, we won't be able to pay this. Is there like payment plans? And then they say, well, yeah, we have payment plans. We plan for you to pay everything in cash right now, or, as Will Ferrell said, you can pay in ass.
Yep. Okay. Oh, all right. We went into full porno setup. Okay.
Yeah, that's what he's, that's the sketch. That's what he says.
Yeah. But I liked how Ashley is just taking it very nonchalantly. She's like, oh yeah, I'll just go to Costco and walk around. You pay in ass, honey.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the commander can't just grab him and he pays in ass.
Yeah. That was an offbeat ending and I enjoyed that ending. I like this sketch more than I didn't. It wasn't the funniest sketch in the world, but I feel like it did hit on a truth with how out of sorts and ill at ease you feel talking to a mechanic about your car.
No, for sure. Because, like, I mean, everybody, every car owner knows, at least, like, when you take your car into the mechanic, and if you're somebody that doesn't know much about cars, you just feel, every time you go in there, you feel like, please let this whatever's wrong with my car be a minor thing that will not send me spiraling into debt, please.
Let me understand what the fuck they're talking about. I mean, it's like when you go to the doctor and they tell you something that's wrong with you, you've at least heard of most of the body parts they're talking about.
Yeah.
Or the conditions. They don't have to, they have to put it in layman's terms, but yeah, and a mechanic, you're even more lost, I think.
Yeah. It really is just like they're talking a whole nother language.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, like I didn't mind this one too. There's some good stuff in the sketch, I thought.
I guess if I had to pick a sketch of the night, which we usually do, it might be this one, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I can't. You know, I could pick some of the cut for time stuff that we're going to cover later, but that doesn't really feel fair since it didn't actually air as part of the show. So
yeah, because there is a cut for time that if it did air, I would have definitely made that my sketch of the night. But we'll get there.
Yeah, same.
So we do get to our final sketch, 10-1, the Nudemans.
The Nudemans. Ooh, you think we're going to have penises in this?
You would think that, but we kind of do. This one's written by Sarah Sherman, Jack Benzinger, Asha Ward, and Marcelo Hernandez.
Oh, that Marcelo. Okay. Yes.
All right. Yes, exactly.
Des Mukes, he's with Veronica, romantic styles. And he's coming back to meet Veronica's family. And Will Ferrell's her dad. He comes in and he turns around. His clothes are open in the back and he's wearing suggestive undergarments. So, yeah.
And that's kind of it.
That's the one joke we get. We got to ration out the jokes at this point in the show, Darren.
Yeah. I mean, we're in a recession. We got to rush. We can't.
We got to make these jokes last. I mean, you get one joke per sketch. Like this one with Olivia Rodrigo, it's people falling down the stairs. This one with Will Ferrell, it's just people with the back half of their clothing missing and they're wearing suggestive undergarments.
Yeah.
Lingerie and stuff.
Yeah, we can't be telling jokes willy-nilly. What do you think, we're made out of jokes?
Nope. Sarah's the mom. She's got an Enter Here tattoo, a little tramp stamp thing going on.
I
assume that's for the character?
I think so. I don't think that's her actual tattoo.
Yeah, no.
This is where I kind of have... I take a little issue with it because then Marcelo comes, but he backs into the room. So you see he has back clothes on his back, but then he turns around and you see the front of his clothes is missing instead of the back.
Whoa, plot twist. Yeah, but didn't see that coming.
But the thing is, though, he's wearing like a wrestling singlet.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It took. I was like, that doesn't quite hit because Will Ferrell's in underwear, ladies' underwear. Yeah. Sarah's wearing ladies' underwear. Marcelo should be in underwear.
Granny panties. Yeah.
Yeah. Marcelo should be wearing underwear. Like, why is he in like a full body?
He should have gone skimpy. He should have been in like a thong or something.
Yeah. Like a banana hammock or Speedo or, you know, jock strap. Like, why'd you
wuss out? List more types of underwear you'd like to see Marcelo in.
Tidy whiteys.
Briefs.
Boxer briefs. Yeah. You already said. I guess that's it.
Still the only touch on the web. That's all we got. Yeah.
But yeah, he's in like a wrestling singlet. I'm like, dude, if everybody else is in their underwear, you should be in your underwear too.
Yeah, solidarity. Seriously.
Yeah. Will Ferrell's in his underwear. You better than Will Ferrell?
No, you are not.
Exactly. No. So get in your man up and get in your underwear.
And this is not just a Marcelo thing. Most of us are not better than Will Ferrell.
That is true. Yeah. A lot of us. I'm definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, I feel fairly confident saying Will Ferrell is funnier than me and probably you.
Wow.
I want to speak for you. I watched Will and Harper. He's probably demonstrably a better person than I am too. So
yeah. Yeah. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Yes,
he seems like a genuinely good guy.
Mm, yeah, he's aces in my book.
Yeah.
But yeah, this sketch, it's one note. Once you see the shock of, you know, well, the people, Will and Sarah in their underwear, that's really kind of it.
That's it. And it's, yeah, it's just the thing. It's like, yeah, they're expecting that initial shock or whatever to put them through the rest of the sketch. So,
and I don't think it didn't make it. I thought this didn't make it for me.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't really shocking enough. It was no vocal checks. It's no family making out with each other.
Yeah, that's some wild shit. I mean, but yeah,
come on, we were doing like full incest 15, 20 years ago. Yeah.
What happened to us? We used to be a proper society.
we used to be a country. We used to be a proper country.
We used to be a proper country. But yeah, I thought the sketch was kind of a thud, a dull way to end the night, really.
Yeah.
And I'm actually kind of shocked about this, that I thought the passing of Barry Blaustein would have gotten a title card or something towards the end, but it didn't.
Yeah, a prominent SNL writer wrote a lot during the Eddie Murphy era.
I mean, he was, yeah, like I think he got hired by Gene Demanian. And like you said, he wrote a lot with Eddie Murphy. He's responsible for writing the Buckwheat sketches, Gumby, Mr. Robinson. I believe he wrote the hot tub, James Brown hot tub sketch. And then he went on to work with Eddie and wrote Coming to America and the Nutty Professor films.
Wow.
So, like, I don't know. I thought he would have gotten a shout out, but the fact that he didn't,
He would. Do you think it's just because Lorne doesn't like acknowledging the Ebersol years at all? I don't know. I mean, I know he de-emphasizes them during the anniversary shows and all that. And I kind of understand where he's coming from, because, like, if it was my show and I left it for 5 years, I wouldn't want to, you know, do a whole lot of, like, oh, hey, remember when I wasn't here and there was really funny stuff? So, but, yeah. But still, he's a significant part of the show's history.
Yeah, I think he deserved a shout-out.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. But that's just me. I mean, maybe I'm just a weirdo.
You're just like a weirdo who likes to memorialize dead people.
Yeah, what's wrong with me, right?
Yeah.
And, but, you know.
Weird. Stop that.
Yeah, I'll try. And, yeah, and then that's the episode. For a final one of the season, I didn't think it was super
strong. It wasn't what I hoped for. I think last week's Matt Damon episode was way stronger than this one, sketch comedy-wise.
Agreed.
But I can't, you know, like, all of the sketches, the performances were good. And, I mean, I'm never sorry to see Paul McCartney perform, so.
No, not at all.
I can't totally hate it.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Coming up. And, nice. And, we mentioned before they had some Cut for Time sketches, but we didn't mention.
So many Cut for Time sketches.
Not one. God. Not one. Not two.
No.
Not three.
No.
Four. 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 Cut for Time sketches.
Four. Four. F-O-U-R. Four.
That is how you spell that, yes.
Four.
F-O-R-E, four.
Four Cut for Time sketches. So, like, either they were way overestimating how many sketches they could fit into this show, or I don't know. We usually see, like, one or two. Maybe three, but never four.
This is unheard of. Unprecedented.
Unheard of. It's unheard of. Was, like, Paul just really milking his numbers? I don't know. What's going on?
We'll see. I don't know. But let's talk about these. Well, let's get into...
Let's do it. One by one. Let's go through them. Boom, let's, boom, boom. Come
let's
on.
Let's talk about Hormuz Jeff, which pre-tape, and, you know, talk about how the Strait of Hormuz is closed for ship trade, except for Hormuz Jeff. Cut to Will Ferrell looking all Captain Ron, and he's this guy who
was very Captain Ron. Yeah,
he has a boat, which is actually a 22-foot party pontoon, and he will ship anything across the Hormuz, Strait of Hormuz. No questions asked. How he's able to do this? He has nothing to lose, no family, no friends. He doesn't care if he dies.
Yep. He's like, if you want something shipped through the Strait of Hormuz, I'm the guy. And he's got Mikey as his first mate. And they go off on this whole thing about how you have to contact them, and you have to go on Peeler. It's a phantom browser, and and it's like this so complex thing. And
you have to download Texto.
Yeah, it was very funny, and it didn't overstay its welcome. This 100% funnier than the Dan Bilas short.
Yeah, this
should have been the pre-tape that was in the show.
This should have been. This would have been my sketch of the night, honestly.
This probably would have been my sketch of the night, too. Yeah, if it had been the actual show.
I like how he just casually has a gun in his hand at one point, just shooting at fish. Mm-hmm. He gets a testimonial from somebody who's blurred out in the dark with the voice all pixelated. Like, I am mm-hmm. pleased. And, yeah, I mean, this was great. I really wish this was in the show, this one.
Good stuff. Solid sketch. Funny stuff. Good character work by both Will Ferrell and Mikey Day. Funny stuff. Yeah.
Funny stuff. And then we got another one, Juicy Tubins.
Juicy Tubins. This is Cut for Time 2.
This one's written by... Cut for Time 2. Written by Ciara O'Sullivan, Jimmy Fallon, Jeremy Culhane, Allie Levitan, and Claire McFadden.
Yeah, so we got a kids' concert. It's like this group, kind of like the Wiggles or the Teletubbies. Juicy Tubins, that's not a real thing, right?
No, I think they made it up. It's supposed to be like the Wiggles or...
Yeah, you know. Okay, that's what I think. I don't have kids, and I wasn't about to Google it, so because that would put me on some weird list. So
yeah, you don't want the cops coming at your door like that.
I'm just... I mean, we've already got them coming after me for the Weekend at Bernie's thing, so...
Yeah, we're taunting the feds here, ladies and gentlemen. We're definitely some wanted people at this point.
Yeah, and also tax stuff.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Anyway,
am I doing a podcast with Wesley Snipes here? What's going on?
So they're doing a concert and a meet and greet, and I do kind of love it when SNL sketches have like real kids in there, and I also. I like it when grown men are yelling at kids. It's just something I find funny.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. You know, so we got Will Ferrell as this mulleted security guard who's taking his job way too seriously. And he's like, all right, kids. And, you know, just laying down the law. And the kids are just like, we're kids.
Right. The parents are like, hey, go easy. They're just kids. And
he's like, you know. Okay, you're on a 10. I need you to take it down to a 4. Okay. And he's putting them in these tubing sleeves, which are just basically these like mats to like just wrap them up in.
Yeah. They look like a
rioting person in.
Yeah. They look like, they look like giant toilet paper tubes, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think at one point he called the kid a vulture. Mm-hmm. You are a vulture. The Tubins do not owe you anything.
And we got Janeway Klein and Marcello and Cam Patterson, no relation, coming out periodically as various Juicy Tubins characters. They're like, hey, kids! Ah, bah, bah, bah. And Will Ferrell's just taking his job way too seriously, putting them in the sleeves, spraying them like cats.
Yes, at one point he does do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, another sketch. I mean, I liked it. I didn't love it, the sketch, but I thought it was definitely stronger than some of the other things that made it into the show.
I think it's definitely funnier than most of the show. I think it's a little bit on the long side. It could have had a minute cut out of it easily, I would say.
I'd say so.
Because it was 5 minutes, 51 seconds. So that's, that's longer than it needs to be, honestly.
Yeah. Like once he comes out, you kind of get the point of what's happening and you're like, all right, we can trim this up, but
tighten it up.
Yeah.
But trim the fat.
Yeah. But it's a grown man screaming at children, spraying them down with water like cats. I can't hate on that.
No, I can't. I can't. I mean, I'm in favor of that in comedy sketches and in life.
Frankly. Just in real life. Guys, just yell at children and spray them down.
Spray water in their faces.
When they get too ready.
Put in their place.
Yeah.
Which I think is a lot of the point of our next Cut for Time sketch, Dad's Birthday.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah. This one came out. This one just dropped today as we're recording this podcast. So,
A nice advantage of us recording the podcast later now is that we're less prone to miss these Cut for Time sketches. So, yes.
Right. So this one, the premise is it's a dad's birthday. Ashley Padilla plays the dad and Will Ferrell is his son in this one.
Right. Yeah.
And, so he's having a birthday party at this house. Chloe is Ashley's wife and Tommy is Ashley's boss and
young cool boss
and Veronica is the boss's wife and they're there to celebrate his birthday. I think at one point the boss says, yeah, I thought more people from work would be here. And the dad's just like, yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
And so basically the premise of this sketch is we see Will Ferrell, the son, being really rowdy and belligerent and wanting to go to Brandon's mm-hmm. house. And
right. Ashley, he gets very pouty when he doesn't get his way. He's an ill-behaved child. He's kind of spoiled.
Yeah. And mainly because the dad, Ashley Padilla, is a bit of a pushover and he doesn't really lay down the law on his son like he should. And the son, and the boss is like, oh, I wouldn't let that fly in my house. So because his boss said so, Ashley as a father has to be more of a disciplinarian.
He's been shamed. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he tells his son, hey, you know, you're not going to Brandon's because you got out of line, right? Right, fella? And the son gets more belligerent and throws cake around.
Mm-hmm. He's stomping on the cake. He's spitting out the cake. A lot of cake abuse in this.
Yeah. Speech. At one point, I think that Ashley says, all right, well, now you're pissing me off. And then I think she felt like that was a mistake. Like, you can say pissed on NBC, right? Like pissed off?
Probably after a certain hour. Yeah. I would assume. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how controversial pissed is anymore.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, was that one of Carlin's seven dirty words?
Yes. I think it's the first one. Piss, shit.
Okay.
Cocksucker motherfucker.
Yeah.
Shit and tits. I don't know. But, right. But when she said you're pissing me off, she kind of like laughed and broke a little bit. Like she said something wrong. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was something I kind of noticed. And I also liked when she was about to whip, you know, give him a spanking, and he told his son to stand up, and he's so much taller than her. She said, oh, Jesus Christ, you're huge.
He's at least a full head taller than her, and he's just towering over her. I liked when she's like, am I going to have to, like, throw you over my shoulder? And I was like, I really want to see you try to throw Will Ferrell over your shoulder, Ashley Padilla. I don't think you will pull it off, but I would love to see you try.
Yeah, I mean, Will Ferrell.
I don't want to see you injured or anything, but I think that would be some funny physical comedy.
Yeah, so. I mean, because Will Ferrell's a tall man. I think he's like one of the tallest cast members the show's ever had.
He's like well over 6 feet, isn't he?
I believe so. Like, I remember, I used to remember like who were the tallest cast members of SNL.
All right, let's go here. Let's go into this.
I know he's up there. It's like him. I think Chevy Chase is still the tallest because
Chevy Chase is okay. Will Ferrell, 6'2.5".
Ooh.
So, this says Will Ferrell has a height of 6'3".
Whoa.
So,
discrepancy.
Yeah, I'm going to give him that extra half inch. Yeah, I'm going to say he's 6'3". So. All
right. He's up there.
And like, he's an elf. I mean, imagine how tall he'd be if he wasn't an elf.
Oof, that's right. Because I know there are other tall cast members. You know, we had Charles Rocket, Pete, Kevin Nealon, Brad Hall. But I know Will. He's a tall drink of water.
We got a Reddit thread on this. Here's every current SNL cast member by height from tallest to shortest. This is from 7 years ago. Pete Davidson, 6'3". Michael Che, 6'2".
Oh, really?
Leslie Jones, 6 feet. Mikey Day, 5'10". Colin Jost, 5'10". Chris Redd, 5'9". Kenan Thompson, 5'8.5". Beck Bennett, 5'8". You know, obviously, it was a little outdated. Mm-hmm. Alex Moffat, Ego. Cecily Strong, all 5'8". Heidi Gardner, Kyle Mooney, 5'7". A.D. Bryan, only 5'3".
Really?
A little taller. Yeah. Kate McKinnon, only 5'3".
Really?
And Kate? Melissa Villaseñor, 5'2".
Kate's only 5'3"?
Apparently so. She has such presence, you know?
Yeah, that surprised me. I thought she was...
Maybe she'd wear lifts. I don't know.
The heels? Wow. All right.
It's a little tricky because, like, you know, women, they wear the heels sometimes, especially when you're a performer.
That's how they trick you, boys.
That's true. Yeah, like the first time you see, like, a girl you're seeing without her shoes... Let's see.
It's like the world doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But I feel like Ben Marshall's got to be kind of tall, too, right?
He's got, oh, wow, that's right. He's, dude, it's like Big Bird. He's huge.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a redheaded Big Bird.
He's a gangly fuck.
Okay, I feel like we need to do some more research on this.
Okay, well, we got our homework.
Yeah, and find out who the tallest current SNL cast member is and who the tallest of all time is.
I think it might be Chevy. Chevy is a towering man. I know Leslie is definitely the tallest woman. I can call
that. Yeah, because right she's 6 feet.
Which is, yeah, I think she's got it. But that's a good
Chevy Chase, 6'4" is what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
well, I think this is the problem. Okay, is we have varying reports here.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 6'5" with the afro 6'9". Ha ha, Fletch. no, okay, yeah. 6'4". That seems to be the consensus for Chevy Chase.
And I think the shortest person, it might be Denny Dillon, because I think she might be 5 foot even.
Denny Dillon?
Yeah, like I remember seeing somewhere she's either 4'9" or 5". Mm. Or something like that. And then I think it's Rachel Dratch. I think she's 5'1" or something.
Yeah, that sounds right for Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, she is wee.
Okay, yeah. All right. We need to go down this rabbit hole further.
Okay. So. We found the new distraction, everybody.
Yep. Let's celebrate. We found a new hyperfocus for the summer.
Yay!
Yay!
Our summer is made. Are you ready for the summer? Are you ready for the good times?
Okay, but we got one more cut for time sketches. This one, the dad's birthday, my general feeling, great performances.
Yeah.
Ashley and Will.
Yeah, it's good to see.
Way too long.
It was, yeah, they kind of tightened this up, but it is good to see two groundlings kind of go at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I like to see their performances. I thought performances were good. You know, they carried it well. But yeah,
any penis references?
Good question. No.
I feel like there weren't.
Maybe that's why it was cut for time.
Were these all cut for time because they didn't have references to penises?
You know, the Juicy Tubins didn't. Hormuz Jeff didn't. And
actually, Juicy Tubins kind of sounds like a euphemism for a penis.
It really does.
Now, when we put it like that, it's...
Yeah. She grabbed on me Juicy Tubins, didn't she? It's saucy young, it's fit young bird.
Please stop. Right, the cops are going to shut us down.
Okay. It's saucy young bird, yeah? Grabbed on.
Anyway, our last cut for time segment is a weekend update desk segment. It's Sarah Sherman reflecting on season 51. And she refers to herself as the Hunchback of 30 Rock.
Yeah, Sarah does this thing where she kind of calls herself ugly and talks about how hideous she is, and it's like, I mean, she's really not, but
but she's like, she dresses very eccentrically, and she talks about how none of the Teamsters at SNL want to sleep with her or whatever.
Yeah, and she comes out dressed as Paul McCartney back in the 70s at one point, because she's
wearing overalls and a colorful shirt underneath, and she's like, yeah, the haters are right, my haircut is bad. And she says, I copied this from Paul McCartney's Wings era look. And then they show a picture of Paul McCartney, when that sort of mullet he had in the 70s. And
yeah,
she matched the look pretty well.
Spot on. Yeah. And then she goes into talking about how people always say that whenever she wears a wig in sketches, mm-hmm. or she looks way better, which I feel like is a real thing. I feel like people do, whenever she wears a blonde wig or something like that, or she plays a normal person, people talk about how...
when she plays a normal person.
Did I say that wrong? Wow, I'm not saying anything correct today.
Not like the weirdo she usually is.
I think she'd agree with me on that. I think she does.
She probably would. She probably would. I mean, she's very self-deprecating, which is part of the beauty of her. Then they give Colin the line, every time you're blonde in a sketch, I get more bricked than the third little pig's house. And wow. Again, another penis reference.
That should have been left in. I don't get it.
Yeah, Colin just hard on. I mean, how did that not make the show?
Yeah.
And then she introduces a compilation of men pulling away from my unscripted kisses.
Yeah.
And they are all from this season. She shows
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård in the Tarzan sketch.
Damon.
Matt Damon from last week, and I'm forgetting the third one.
I forget the third one.
I think it was with a cast member, yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, maybe they're all just want to be respectful. Be like, hey, it's okay. You know, I know you have a boyfriend. I don't know.
Maybe, you know, like, is she always going off script and trying to get a little sugar? I don't know. Maybe that's a Sarah thing.
Yeah, maybe that's what she likes. I don't know.
Yeah. And then we see Colin pepper spraying Sarah at the end.
Right, because she tries to go in
for a kiss.
Yeah. I thought this was funny. I kind of wish they kept it in.
I don't feel like it was like 100% there, but I would have rather had this on update than Mr. Blast.
Ooh.
Or Mr. On Blast.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy needs the screen time a little more, but I would have enjoyed this. But I enjoyed the Sarah Colin dynamic. I like the twisted relationship they've established between those two. So
yeah, no, I dig it. I like it. I still feel like they should have. Yeah, I feel like this just should have made it in two. Mm-hmm. But yeah, still, it's a lot of comfort times. Wowee.
Yeah, so much. I mean, it's like, again, like you didn't have a beetle in the house.
Very much so. So, and that's the episode, guys. Interesting way to end the season. Maybe not the strongest, I'd say, but...
No, I wish we could have gone out a little stronger for the season finale, but...
For sure, but... I don't know, we did what we did, I guess. Or we ended in the best way
we did. We ate up a hour and a half of runtime. And really, isn't that what SNL is all about?
Yep. Just running out the clock.
Taking up airtime.
Yes.
Selling those commercial hours at an hour when no one else in their right mind would advertise on NBC.
God bless America.
Yeah. So, but, should we see what the people think?
Let's see what the people think. Let's go over to the blue skies. Blue skies coming at me.
All right, we got Camille Pretzlaw says, on a Will Ferrell episode, Will Ferrell's all caps, the highlight for me was Mr. On Blast. The sketches were mid, though Epstein Trump was a somewhat different take.
Yeah, I agree.
Lots of content with impropriety by adults towards teens. Yeah, okay.
Very much so.
Paul's mechanic was cute. Paul McCartney sounded great for his age. Lauren must adore Paul. He's on so often. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that.
Child of the 60s and 70s. I mean, how can you not love the Beatles?
How could you not? Good friend Vax Novier saying, another show hampered by timing out the night poorly. Cast list made it to air, which automatically made this better than Will's 2019 episode. The Doctor's sketch would have been better if it was anyone other than Mikey Day, and I wonder how the mechanic sketch would have played without the title card. Not a bad finale overall, just a bit hollow sketch-wise, but that's to be expected when McCartney is in the building.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with the Doctor sketch would have been better with anyone other than Mikey Day. I feel like that's right in Mikey Day's wheelhouse, but maybe. Yeah. Maybe you're just a little tired of Mikey Day. I've heard from some people who are like, oh yeah, I'm sick of Mikey Day. I'm not sick of the guy yet. So
yeah, it's weird. He's been on the show for a while now, and you'd think, like after, I mean, what, it's been at least like 10 years or something. Maybe
it's been about 10 years, and he said in a recent interview, like, I want to stay on the show until it gets sad. So it doesn't sound like he's in any hurry to leave.
No. And I mean, he's very good at what he does. He's a good utility player and whatnot.
And good writer too. So,
yeah, that too.
I mean, him and Streeter together, I feel like there's a real chemistry there, and they've written so much great stuff together. So
yeah. And I feel like he's kind of
going to miss him when he goes. When the day comes that he goes, I will miss Mikey Day. And I don't usually feel that way about people who've been on for like a decade or so. I have to really love somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like he's kind of taken a page out of the Keenan book where he's not on all the time. Like, he is in a fair number of sketches, but he's not in like every sketch. Like, he's not you know, he knows, like, all right, people might get sick of me, let me pull it back.
Yeah, it doesn't get to, like, ridiculous Kristen Wiig type levels.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, like, and Kristen Wiig, fabulous talent, but by the end of her time on the show, she was like the focus of practically every sketch, and I was getting tired of her by the end.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, okay. All right, Nick, wait, did I read the last one or did you read?
I read the last one.
Okay. Nick Store says, it seems short, no? Like SNL UK length. I'm ready for Mikey to take a back seat now.
Ooh.
There just wasn't that much to get excited about. It kind of petered out. I thought Marcella played his mechanic well. They need to trim this cast for 52. Anyhow, have a great summer, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've always felt like they need to trim the cast, but I don't think it's ever going to happen at this point.
No.
I think just obviously Lord likes a cast this size.
It seems like he enjoys. So yeah, like you, I think we said before, like he has like the big cast. So if somebody is off doing something else, somebody else can take their spot. I don't think anybody's leaving, at least on their own accord. At this point, it seems like everybody kind of wants to stay. I'll probably have more to say about that whole thing when we do our wrap up. But
yeah, I think we can talk about that next week, about who is likely to leave and who should leave. Mm. And I'm sure we'll have lots of opinions on that. And I'm sure our guests next week will have lots of opinions on that as well.
So. Indeed. So next up, we got S. Carr at Warm Take saying, Jeremy Culhane's on blast and previously Tucker Carlson on update is a season highlight for Shizzle.
For Shizzle.
Using the little Snoop Dogg lingo there.
Wow, that's, you know, even that bit of slang is going back a ways now. I mean,
it is, yeah. Oof.
Yeah, and wow. you know it's already old when it's like filtered down to the white people.
Yeah, once the white people know about it, it's like, all right, we're done.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like black people are like, oh god damn it, we got to find the next cool thing now. Okay, hey, fine.
Curse you!
You can have for Shizzle.
Oh,
we'll figure out something else.
Oh dear. Okay, next up.
That's what we do.
That is what we do.
All right, Laurel Bush says, I don't know why they let Paul McCartney embarrass himself like that. Ooh. I could barely watch. I've been a Beatles fan since 1965, age 12. The sketches were average. I guess she's talking about his musical numbers, not his appearances in the sketches.
I mean, I guess that's something. Yeah, we've talked about it because, like, yeah, his voice did seem, you know, weaker than all. But then I feel like that's something we've also talked about when Cher was on and when Stevie Nicks was on. Like their voices aren't as strong as it was when they were younger, and that just happens as you get older. And
that's just what happens. These people are in their 70s and sometimes in their 80s. I think it's inevitable that you sound a little off. You're not going to sound like you once did. So
yeah, but like I definitely heard his voice wasn't, you know, what it was, but it didn't totally turn me off to the song.
I feel like you have to grade him on a curve a little bit. You know,
yeah, a little bit. And finally,
Paul freaking McCartney.
Yeah, it's Paul McCartney, for Christ's sake, living legend. And our last but not least, Stephen M. saying, "Horror Muse Jeff was the best part of the episode. Bobbin second, Mr. on Blast needs muting."
Ooh, wow, lots of hot takes packed into one part. I mean, is Horror Muse Jeff part of the episode? Because it's cut for time, so it's only on YouTube. So
yeah, so it's not. It doesn't really count. But if it was, it would have been the highlight for sure.
Yeah, but Bobbin second. Ooh, that sketch didn't really work for me at all.
Mm.
It was well shot. I mean, the production design was great. But
there you go.
I just didn't find it funny, so.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right, so, seems like we ended on a bit of a shrug than a celebration this episode. Which
it's not all that I would have hoped for a season finale, so, but, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do? Well,
And we're gonna get into what we think about the season overall next week.
Yes. Next week, we do our season 51 wrap-up. Talk about it all.
And we're going to have our special guest from Late Nighter, Mr. Dennis Perkins, formerly of the AV Club, and he goes way back. He's been doing SNL recaps for I don't know how many years. He can let us know next year. But we had him on. I think this is going to be his fifth time, probably.
It might be more. He's definitely passed. I think this might be his seventh time, I believe.
Okay. So, yeah, because we had him on in the early days. I think Dennis Perkins is our Alec Baldwin at this point.
Yes, for sure.
You know?
He's the Alec Baldwin / Steve Martin / Buck Henry.
Right. / John Goodman / from Guns N' Roses.
/ Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, I remember we had him on for our recap show in our first or second year doing the podcast, and he did such a great job. He just knocked it out of the park. We were so good. We were like, let's ask him back next year. Let's just keep asking him back until it gets sad. And
yes, we bring him back like Mikey Day.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're not sick of him yet, so therefore you shouldn't be. So, I always look forward to our end of the year recaps, and it'll be interesting to see what Dennis thought of the season and versus what we thought of the season and stuff. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. It's always a good conversation when Dennis comes around.
Absolutely, it's going to be a blast. And so until then, that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast as always. You could follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. You can donate to our Patreon, non-productive.com. Go to our YouTube page. Listen to all this madness on the YouTube. And as always, you can follow me, myself, and I on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
And you can follow me on the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And check us out on the YouTube. Check us out on non-productive.com. Support our Patreon. Rate and review us on the podcaster of your choice. All that helps out the podcast. Just talk us up to your friends.
Yeah.
You probably know other people who like SNL, right?
Yeah, you have friends, don't you? You know
people who listen to podcasts?
Yeah. You have friends, don't you? They like SNL, don't they? Why don't you help out your boys and bring us up?
Show us a little love. But, But we'll be back next week talking all about season 51 in general and with lots of hot takes that we haven't shared yet. So, we're going to have so many hot takes, we're going to come up with some new ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Hot dog.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be wild.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, join us next week with Dennis Perkins. But until then.
Nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.